Thank you very much, sister. Now we are coming to the preaching of God's Word, and our preacher for today is our dear brother Paul Foster, who is a fourth year theological student from our Cumber congregation, and he will take the holy duty of preaching God's Word. Thank you, Paul.
Can I encourage you to keep your Bible open there at Hebrews chapter 11? I'd like to thank David Cohut for leading this morning. David is from the Czech Republic, and he is another international student, and he will be with us, God willing, for 4 years in the college. And it's a pleasure to have him as well as Jehan, and of course all the other students as well. But it's been a pleasure to get to know them, and I know they've been a blessing to my own heart. I pray that God will bless them while they're here. Perhaps we could just bow in a word of prayer. Can I encourage you to pray along with me that God will give me help? I know very much how much I need His help. And could you even pray for yourselves that God will have a word in season? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. We need His word even this morning, so let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to thank Thee that we can come before Thee in prayer. Father, I thank Thee that Thou art holy, Thou art pure, Thou art just, wise, and loving. And Father, I thank Thee that while we were yet sinners, yet Thou didst commend Thy love to all of Thy people in sending Thy Son, Thy only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. Father, I ask Thee, with His blood shed, with Him seated at Thy right side, praying for all of His people, come now. And the merits of those things. And Lord, may You give help to me this morning. Give me, Lord, the words to say. And Lord, let Thy word come forth with Thy life and with Thy power. Give us faith to see Thee. Give us faith to receive it. And Lord, give us that heart and that love to apply it in our daily lives. Lord, encourage Thy children this morning. As Thou hast encouraged me, Lord, even let the encouragement increase. Any here, Lord, who are not saved, I ask Thee, let them see Christ. Let them see Him by faith. And Lord, let them trust in Him and all He has done on that cross. Do a work now, Father, that will last for eternity. In Jesus' precious name, for His glory alone, I ask these things. Amen. Children of God this morning, whether you're young, you're old, or you're in between, could I just encourage you at the very beginning of this message to just take a moment. Sometimes you get up in the morning and you can get flustered, or there could be something that's happened that you didn't expect, and therefore you can run out of time to just take aside a bit of time and to take a step back and look upward. And can I encourage you, along with me, just to look away from yourself, look away from how you're feeling, and look up. And see the Lord Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of God the Father. See Him there, the one who looked ahead in time and saw that you and I would sin and rebel against Him thousands of times. But yet in His love He chose to save us. See Him there who And his love came down to this earth, lived amongst the people who hated him, went to that cross, there was nailed to it. And he took upon himself all of our sins, and he suffered all the wrath of his Father for them. Look up. See Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead and ascended up to heaven. And every day, he is praying for you and for me. See him looking down upon you, smiling at you. Even though you stumble and fall, his smile never changes. His love for you is everlasting. See him who is upholding you. And through every difficulty and strife, he holds you in his hand. The hand that's almighty and all powerful. And brings you through. And is taking you home to be with him forever. Look up and see Jesus Christ. And see his love to you. In a personal way this morning. And with your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, let me ask you a question. What is your desire? Do you see Jesus Christ? What is the desire in your heart? As you see his love, are you filled with love for him? Yes, it's not a perfect love. Yes, it's not as strong as what it should be, but do you see in the deepest part of your heart a desire to live for him? A desire to thank him with all that you have? Do you have that desire to unreservedly serve him? Whatever it may be, just to live for him. Do you have that desire to be like Hannah, that godly parent? To be faithful to what he's called you to here? Do you have that desire to be like Daniel, a prayer warrior, praying for his will to be done? Do you have that desire to be like Enoch, who just walked with God each day? Do you have that desire to be like Rahab, who heard the promise of God, who believed the promise of God, and who lived in accordance to his promises? Whenever you see Jesus Christ and all he's done for you and the love he shows to you, do you have that desire to be like Stephen, to stand up for him and to proclaim him, no matter who's in front of you, no matter who's around you, whether it's a pile of Jews who hate him, whether it's in the workplace, the university, wherever it may be, or in the school, then you want to stand up for the truth. You want to stand up for King Jesus. In whatever little way you can. Whenever you see Jesus Christ this morning, do you have that desire? I pray you do. And if you do, I thank the Lord for it. Because it's a great desire. But yet I know in my own heart that whenever I see Jesus Christ afresh by faith, whether it's in the morning time, whatever it may be, my heart is it's difficult at times. It is. Sometimes you can be looking to try and see him and you just can't. It seems like the clouds are as brass and you can't seem to see through them. But yet as you persevere and as you wait, the Lord graciously comes and gives you that faith that you need. And whenever you see him, your heart's revived. You've got a love for him afresh. And it's great. And it's good. But yet, whenever you leave that quiet time and you get back and you just see the reality of life, you see how cold it is. You see how so many people are indifferent. You see, the obstacles that there are there, you've got that desire to want to live for the Lord, but yet there's very few there to encourage you. You've got that desire to live for the Lord, but things just are complicated. Just not that easy. You want to do a work for Him, but yet things are just so difficult. And you're discouraged and you're disappointed. And it's so easy to give up and to not serve the Lord with that love that we had whenever we saw Him, when we're looking upon Him. Whenever we not only see the world around us, but we look within ourselves, we see how weak we are. How could I do it? It's fine for Rahab and Abraham and Moses and all these people. They were mighty men and women of God, but and they're now in heaven. They've lived a successful life. They're victorious. But I still got it all to go through. And I'm so weak. This morning, I want to bring a very short word of encouragement. And how we can be strong in the Lord and in His love. And how we can be steadfast in it. Not going up and down, but be steadfast in that strength. Steadfast in that zeal. Steadfast in that love for Him, putting Him first and loving Him with our all. As I put a title on this message, it's the secret of steadfastness and strength. You look with me at verse 27 of Hebrews 11. In verse 23, we're given the example of Moses. And we're told in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. And that word endured is the word for steadfast. He was steadfast. How? As seeing him who is invisible. What's the secret of steadfastness? What's the secret of strength continually throughout the day and throughout your life? It's very simply this. It's seeing Him who is invisible. Now, let us just try and understand what that means. It's an action to see Him who is invisible. And from these words we see that, first of all, it is a spiritual action. You see there it says that we endure by seeing Him who is invisible. Some might turn around and say, well, here, preacher, how can you turn around and see something that's invisible? That's utter nonsense. Well, you see, the answer to that question is by understanding what it means to see. If you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 20, and I want to show you something that I find extremely interesting. John chapter 20. In the New Testament, there are three main words. There are main Greek words that are translated see in the English. And in John chapter 20, we're given an example of all three of them. John chapter 20 is a chapter where Mary Magdalene has went to the tomb, to the sepulchre where Jesus Christ had been buried. And He's risen again. She sees the empty tomb, she runs and she meets Peter and John. And she tells them what she's seen. And so Peter and John, they run to the sepulchre. Verse 4, we read of John 20. So they ran both together, Peter and John, and the other disciple, which is John, did outrun Peter. He was a quicker runner. And came first to the sepulchre. And he, stepping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. And here's the first word, which is translated here, see or saw. And it's the Greek word, blepo. And it just simply means to see with your physical eyes. Just like I see this pulpit, and as I see that door, and as I see you, I'm seeing you with my physical eyes. But you look with me at verse 6. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, And you look at what follows. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And here we're told that Simon Peter sees. But it's a different word in the Greek. This is the word theorio. And what it means is not only to see with your eyes, but it means to see with your mind. To understand that something remarkable has happened. There's something special here. Would you read on with me? Verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre. And he saw and believed. And this is the third and final word. And it's the word in the Greek horio. And it means something even far greater. It means to see with your eyes. It means to see, understand with your mind. But it means to believe in your heart. Whenever we come to Hebrews chapter 11, we are told that if we are to endure, if we are to be strong in our love for the Lord and to be steadfast in it, we are to see the one who is invisible. And it's this third word. It's to see. It's to see Him. While we can't see Him with our physical eyes, we can read about Him in Scripture. We can understand what Scripture says about Him. And we can believe what Scripture tells us about Him in our heart. How are you going to be strong? And how am I going to be strong each day? We are to see Jesus Christ. Look at nature. Look at it with your physical eyes. And understand in your mind that whenever you see the waves, you see the power of God. You look at the beautiful mountains, and there you see the design of the Creator and His wisdom. You look at nature with your physical eyes and with your mind. Understand the greatness of God. You look at His Word. You look at Scripture. You read with your physical eyes of Jesus Christ and His miracles. And you understand mind that every time you look at Christ, there you see the effects of the fall, sickness and sin. Reverses it. Power. You look and you read His sayings with your physical eyes and you understand with His mind that He is truth. He's pure. And He's right. He never lies. You read with your physical eyes in Scripture about Him going to that cross, taking upon Himself all of our sin. And that He cried at the end, "It is finished." Men and women, do you see it? He cried, "It is finished." You use your physical eyes, you use your mind, but you do a lot more than that. Believe with your heart that He not only went to that cross for men, but He went to that cross for you. Whenever He cried, "It is finished," He was talking about all your sin. It is finished. It's paid with. It's done. And as you see His love to you, and as you believe His love to you, you will be strengthened. It's a spiritual action. But also it's a focused action. You see, we read in that phrase at the end of verse 27. We endure as or by seeing Him who is invisible. And just to sort of emphasize that a little bit more, we are to focus our attention on Christ. We're to see Him. That's how we're strong. That's how we're steadfast. Whenever you look at the example of Moses here, we're told in verse 24 that whenever he was come to years, that's the age of 40, we're told in Acts 7, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, we read that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. That he esteemed, as he thought higher, the reproach of Christ greater than all the treasures in Egypt. Verse 27, we're told he forsook Egypt. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. How did he do all this? Why, how did Moses, you think about it, he was brought up in that palace, in the Pharaoh's house. He was given that title as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wherever he went in Egypt, people would have, in a sense, bowed down to him. There's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was given great status. He had a great career. He was perhaps in line to be the next king of Egypt. He had all the luxuries and all the sin he could ever want. He could live as he pleased. He lived in Egypt. He had all its power. He had all its luxury. He had all its lust and all its sin. And yet what are we told? He forsook it. He left that title of the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and instead he joined himself to the people of God. And therefore he took to himself another title, a child of God, not a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He left that place of wealth, material wealth, to go to the place of poverty. He left that place of being served and being looked up to being a servant. From being worshipped and being thought so highly of, to being afflicted by taskmasters, to being whipped. Why? Why? Because he saw the Lord. He looked forward and he saw Jesus Christ. See, in Acts 7, and indeed Exodus chapter 2, we are told that whenever Moses was born, yes, he was hid by his mother, and yes, he was brought up in the palace of Egypt, but yet we're told that his own mother was his nurse. And his mother, from what we read in verse 23, was a very godly woman. And she taught Moses who he was. And you see, Moses, before he even left Egypt, before he left that title, he knew that he was God's chosen instrument to be a deliverer. To be a deliverer of the children of Israel. Why? So that they would escape that bondage and go to that promised land where they would receive the blessings of God. And he saw a lot farther to that than that. And he saw Christ, the one who is the great deliverer. And Moses looked up. And he was able to leave all that sin and all of its pleasure because he saw it was empty. He saw it had a great sting at the end of it. It had eternal damnation. And yet he saw Christ on the other side. And he saw that while sin brings misery and condemnation, Christ brings joy and he brings salvation. While sin brings guilt, Christ brings complete forgiveness of sins. He saw him who is invisible. And that's why he was able to leave all these things. How are we strong, men and women? We see him who is invisible. Just very lastly, and it's very short. Not only is the secret of steadfastness and strength a spiritual action whereby we see and believe with our hearts, not only is it a focused action where we see Christ, but it's a continual action. You see, it says there in verse 27 that Moses endured as seeing him. That is a participle in the Greek. And for those here who are like me, who are more Maz orientated than English orientated, that means it's continuous. Moses just didn't look up and see the Lord once and then that was it. Continually he looked up Because think about it, how could he endure that affliction? You know, taskmasters continuing to whip him, taskmasters scorning him, aha, look at you down there. How could he suffer the reproach day in, day out, day in, day out? Whenever he was leading the children of Israel into the promised land, how could he continue with them complaining against him and murmuring? How could he continue to serve the Lord and live for the purpose for which he was created? That plan that God had given to him. How could he do it day in, day out? How could he be steadfast in that strength and that love for the Lord? By seeing continually the Lord's love to him. It's a continual action. Men and women this morning, if you look up and see Christ, as we saw at the beginning of this message, the one who loves you, the one who humbled himself to live for you, the one who took all your sins upon him and died for you, the one who rose again as victor and is ever praying for you, look upon him. Look upon him now. And let his love kindle in you a love and a desire for him. Yes, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you have to wait. But wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. And don't let it be so long till you come back again and see him afresh. But see him continually. Take aside time. Look up to him. See him in all his purity. See his love to you. And let your heart be continually revived. And then, like all these mighty men and women, Daniel, Rahab, Abraham, Moses, you too will be taken to heaven and you'll have lived a life of success, a life that will last for eternity. Because as you love the Lord, you will obey him. As you love the Lord, you'll exalt him. Men and women, take time continually to see him who is invisible. With your physical eyes, read his word. With your mind, understand. And with your heart, believe it's all for you. Will you? As you go out those doors this morning, will you? Will you make that dedication to try and do it? Yes, you'll fall and you'll stumble. But will you seek to do it? And God will help you. And God will make you strong in his strength. And he will give you that steadfastness that continues. Trust in him. If you're here and you're not saved, you think about Moses. He had everything, absolutely everything, this world could offer. But yet he saw Christ. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all this earth. Why? Because he saw the recompense of the reward. Will you look and see Christ? And will you by faith see him? That he's died for all your sin. He's paid that great debt for you. And will you trust him? He'll save you. Right here, right now, forever. Amen.